Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into UK and US equities. We're in the midst of earnings season. We have some very exciting earnings coming up, and there are a number of companies that we're going to be looking at who have reported this week. And to do that, we're very kindly joined by Victoria Scholar, who is the head of investment at Interactive Investor. Victoria, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Victoria, I'm sure everybody listening to this is aware of Interactive Investor. But before we get into the podcast, it would be great if you could give a brief introduction, first of all, to yourself, as well as Interactive Investor, please.
Yes, sure. So my name is Victoria. As you said, I work at Interactive Investor. We are the UK's number one flat fee investment platform. So we appeal to retail investors. We offer funds, ETFs, single stocks, and plenty more. We have lots of investment ideas on our website, and our sort of way of thinking about investing in the markets is that it's very much a long-term gain. It's more about time in the market rather than timing the market. So we don't really think about hopping in and out of the market and intraday trading. We're more thinking about how can you regularly invest to try and grow your wealth over the long term so that you can provide for a good retirement, you can have a good pension, and generally a better life.
Thank you very much. That's a very, very interesting point you make there. It's about time in the market as opposed to timing the market. Anybody that has spent some time in the market will know that it's particularly difficult to try and time the market, no matter how much experience you have. So we're going to move on now, Victoria, and we're going to get stuck in to the companies for discussion this week. And we're going to start off in the United States. So we're in the midst of earnings season, and we've started off with technology shares, some of the Magnificent Seven this week. We had Tesla and Netflix reporting. What were the key takeaways from those updates that you saw, Victoria?
Yeah, sure. So it was essentially two very different stories. Tesla closed down 12%. $80 billion were wiped off its market cap after its CEO, Elon Musk, said that growth would be notably lower this year. It suffered its biggest one-day percentage loss in over a year. And actually, the stock is down by over a quarter since the start of the year. It reported earnings and revenue that both fell short of expectations. And we've seen that Tesla has been essentially trying to boost sales by cutting prices over the last year, but that's really been weighing on its profit margins. Also, the EV market has been suffering from a slowdown because of the sluggish growth backdrop and a weak consumer. And the analysts are now quite uncertain towards Tesla too. They now have an average rating on the stock of a hold, and it's faced a series of price targets downgrades lately. And of course, this comes off the back of an incredibly impressive performance for Tesla last year. Like you say, one of the so-called Magnificent Seven that powered a lot of last year's broader market rally. But this year, things are getting a lot tougher, and it was overtaken by China's BYD this month, which is that's now become the world's biggest automaker or EV maker, tipping Tesla off the top spot. Now, for Netflix, the story was very different. It reported record fourth quarter subscriber gains. It added 13.1 million subscribers in the fourth quarter, which was sharply ahead of expectations. Now has a total of 260 million subscribers worldwide. And it's been benefiting from the success of hit shows like The Crown and The Killer. It's also been clamping down on password sharing, which has helped to boost revenues. And it's got this ad-supported, more economically resilient, sort of cheaper tier. So that's helped to boost demand as well. And it wants to try and make advertising a primary revenue driver by 2025, so next year. We've also seen that Netflix is trying to get more into live content. It signed a $5 billion deal with WWE Raw from 2025. So that could be the next growth frontier for the tech giant. And unlike Tesla, this is a stock that's up 20% already this year. And that comes off the back of an extremely strong 2023 when the shares surged 65%. So I think the takeaway really is that we're starting to see some divergence within the tech sector, some standout winners, but also some stocks that are really suffering.
Indeed, fantastic numbers from Netflix that we saw, and there seems to be nothing that can stop this company there. There were concerns that the password sharing may knock their figures, but that hasn't been the case. And as you mentioned, they're getting into the live content is a completely new field for them, and that will surely bring in more subscribers. So that's definitely one to watch going forward. But just want to go back to Tesla, Victoria. Now, of course, the concerns were really there about the sales growth going forward. But of course, the company's headed up by Elon Musk, recently acquired Twitter and leading SpaceX. How much do you think the sell-off that we've seen, not only on the back of results, but over the past 6 months, is down to growing investor concerns about Elon Musk and where his priorities are?
Well, I think Tesla is a very divisive stock. It has some extremely loyal bulls and some very passionate bears as well. And I think that there's no doubt that Elon Musk is an extremely busy man and has his fingers in many pies. You mentioned some of them there, but I think another one to mention is his AI startup that's looking to raise $6 billion from investors, and that's to try and challenge OpenAI, which is backed by Microsoft. So there's a lot going on for Elon Musk. But I do think that these results are more about the broader EV market and some of the weakness that we're seeing coming through. As I mentioned, Tesla's been trying to respond to that weak demand by cutting prices. But that, of course, has a knock-on impact on margins. Also, I think Tesla, more broadly, it does operate at a pretty high price point. So it might struggle to become mass market in a way that some other EV players, perhaps in China, could do a bit better.
Indeed, certainly the competition from China is going to be a concern going forward. So just staying on the theme of AI, Victoria, of course, last year, particularly the first half of last year, much of the equity returns that we saw in the United States was down to artificial intelligence and very much concentrated on six or seven stocks. How do you see that playing out in 2024? I mean, just this week, we've seen Microsoft, Alphabet touching all-time highs before their results next week. So it appears that there's still a huge amount of optimism around what AI can do for these companies in particular. Do you think that these particular companies are going to be the big driver of equity returns in the year to come?
Well, I think that the sheer size and dominance of the Magnificent Seven means that they will continue to have a major sway on the direction for price action in 2024. Of course, it's never clear 100% which way that's going to be. And if we look at the performance in 2022 and the tech wreck compared to the huge gains last year, we can see the sort of unpredictability of the markets in lots of ways. But I do really believe that AI will continue to be a dominant theme for markets this year. NVIDIA, of course, has been the proxy play for artificial intelligence, and that continues to go from strength to strength. It's already up by over a quarter since the start of 2024 and less than a month. So that highlights how investors are still ploughing more and more into the theme, and specifically NVIDIA. And this is part of the reason, like you say, why the S&P and the Dow have hit fresh record highs this year. But beyond NVIDIA, we've also seen that it's touching other companies quite significantly. So Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Meta, of course, suggested that his company is spending billions of dollars on NVIDIA chips. In October, he said that AI is going to be his biggest investment area for 2024 in engineering and computer resources. So this isn't just hype. This really is tangible. But I do think in terms of earnings coming up, a lot of the focus is going to be around what they're saying about artificial intelligence and how they're investing more within the theme. I think Amazon has a bit of a challenge on its hands. It said it's planning to launch an all-out offensive to catch up in AI. I think Microsoft and Nvidia are the front runners at the moment. Meta and Alphabet have also been investing heavily. Amazon has some work to do there. And if we look at the performance of some of these stocks this year within the Magnificent Seven, Amazon, Microsoft, Alphabet, they're all up between 5 and 10%. So some people look at the performance in January as a bellwether for the year ahead. And it certainly feels as though if that's the case, then we could be shaping up for another strong year for the tech giants.
Indeed, indeed. Certainly the last few days would suggest that. So we're going to bring it back to the UK now, Victoria, and start with a fairly broad question, because we're probably halfway through earnings season here in the UK. That there's still the banks, for example, to report, which are always closely watched. But we've had the retailers so far, as among others. From what you can see, are there any major trends that you see from FTSE 100, FTSE 350 companies that are coming out, providing insights into the wider economy, to the opportunities that these companies see and potentially the challenges that you think may dictate trade in UK companies going forward for the rest of the year?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'd say that the US so far is further into earnings season than the UK. And so far, we're starting to see a bit of a gap open up with the UK. UK earnings have been quite pleasing, but about 70% of US companies have actually beaten expectations. So they've had a much stronger performance. I think it's the same theme as we've seen in previous years, that the UK's relative lack of exposure to technology could hold the FTSE 100 back if this excitement around technology continues. And then in terms of themes that I've seen coming out from the corporate earnings season here in the UK, I'd say that we've seen a bit of resilience from the consumer. So holiday bookings, for example, have been really strong, suggesting that the family break is still alive and well, an important part of the budget. And this seems to chime with the fact that we've seen that inflation has been coming down and wage growth is still quite strong. So it feels as though the resilience of the consumer has been a key theme I've noticed.
Thank you very much. So I think we need to touch on this. And it's something we discussed on the podcast in great details, but it is interest rates. And of course, at the end of last year, we did see a big melt up in equities, not only here in the UK, but also in the US, on expectations or indeed hopes that there would be rate cuts in possibly the first quarter or the second quarter of this year. You know, this week, with all the earnings that's going on, and we had some relatively good data from the United States yesterday, those concerns and questions have taken a bit of a back seat. But, you know, if we look forward over the next few months, Victoria, do you feel, you know, as soon as the earnings start to quieten down, that it's going to be focused back on the interest rate situation and the timing of the first rate cuts? And is that ultimately going to be what dictates trade in equities going forward for at least the first half of this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think central banks are going to continue to play a key role when it comes to the outlook for equities in the UK and the US and elsewhere, particularly in the interest rate sensitive sectors like the house builders. You talked about that melt up at the end of last year. We saw significant gains for the sector at the tail end of 2023 in anticipation of that switch from monetary tightening to monetary loosening sometime this year. But I think really the lesson we're learning from price action in recent weeks is that it's not going to be plain sailing. In the UK, inflation obviously has been moving in the right direction since the highs back in October of 2022. But it wouldn't be surprising to see inflation tick higher in January. We already saw inflation rise a bit last month on the back of an increase in tobacco duty. And we've been seeing that oil prices have been rising this year up by about 7% since the start of January. And then, of course, there's the turmoil in the Red Sea that could result in shipping delays and product shortages and even potentially price increases on the shelves. But I think more broadly, inflation is still expected to come back down towards the 2% target this year. And markets might be getting a bit ahead of themselves, but at the moment, they're pricing in about 4 quarter point cuts this year and another 3 next year. And all of that will certainly be positive for equities if it were to manifest in that way, particularly if we would see more cuts than expected. I do really think that central banks will continue to be a major theme this year. And I think the Bank of England is going to be looking not just at inflation, but also to see if unemployment rises and wage growth eases before cutting interest rates. Then, of course, there's the added complication that we're in an election year. So the Chancellor's likely to be cutting taxes, which could have an impact on inflation as well. So there's a lot to digest, but I think interest rates will be a dominant theme this year and next.
Thank you very much. So I want to move on now to a subject which I think is particularly important in UK markets at the moment. And it is a theme that we've seen start to build momentum, especially in the last 6 months or so. And it is a number of companies receiving takeover bids, whether it be from US private equity or their close competitors, in the case of Wincanton very recently. I mean, very late on last year, we saw a bid coming in for smart metering systems from KKR, a US private equity company. On the Market is another example, which was acquired by a US competitor. You know, we're looking at valuations, Victoria, in UK stocks at, you know, near historic lows. You know, certainly the lowest that they've been for some time. But at the same time, we're seeing these, you know, big organisations, you know, whether they be, you know, within the industry or private equity, coming in and taking out these companies that are at these lowly valuations. So what is it, do you feel, that they see, you know, these institutions in the UK market, which, you know, domestic UK investors, whether that be private or institutional, just aren't, because they're leaving these companies at such low valuations?
Yeah, well, I think just to provide a bit of broader context, M&A activity in the UK was pretty weak last year. We saw a sharp drop in the number of deals versus the year before. And M&A and IPO activity across a broader geographical spread has also been pretty weak. We've seen that notably in terms of bank earnings, where investment banking divisions have struggled with a major lack of deal-making income. And of course, there's lots of factors involved here, whether that's the war in Ukraine, rising interest rates, of course, make borrowing and deal financing a lot more expensive, and also the turmoil in the Middle East now as well. But I do think we could potentially see a pickup in deals this year, because there are a lot of private equity funds that have got dry powder that they need to deploy. And there have been delays to certain deals from last year. And also, of course, there's the potential for interest rate cuts in 2024 too. So we could potentially see these dynamics shift. But I think, to your point, a lot of UK stocks have been unloved for some time. They've been suffering from this Brexit discount. One fund manager described UK firms as sitting ducks for takeovers. And you mentioned some of the deals that we've seen so far this year, KKR looking at smart meter systems, and On the Market agreeing to a takeover from the US retail giant. So it appears to be deep-pocketed US private equity funds or companies looking to secure smaller UK takeover targets to try and either penetrate the UK market and benefit from that discount or those attractive valuations that they're seeing here in the UK.
Thank you very much. So you mentioned that if we see interest rates fall, that it may see a tick up in M&A activity and possibly further bids for UK companies. From where you're sitting, Victoria, do you see any sector where there could be some of these potential takeover targets sitting, or do you think it's a fairly broad spread across many sectors here in the UK?
Well, I think the London Market has a number of potential takeover targets with cheap valuations on offer for those deep-pocketed rivals looking to expand in the UK via M&A. Undervalued small to mid-sized UK companies rather than FTSE 100 heavyweights are more likely to be realistic takeover targets. We've already seen lots of private equity interest over the last year or so for companies like Network International, Hive Group, Dechra Pharmaceuticals. One analyst at Liberum suggested that defense companies could be vulnerable to takeovers from US firms because of the discounts that they trade at compared to the US equivalents. So I think it's where we see that big spread between valuations between US and UK companies. So the defense sector could be one to look towards.
That's great, Victoria. Thank you very much. So just like to thank everyone for listening today. You know, do check out the notes to this podcast. There'll be links through to some stories about the subjects that we've discussed today for further insight. So, Victoria, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And thank you once more to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.